This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, together with T. Xiao Yik and Lim Soo Ann. For those of you who are, you know, avid followers of color-related news...
Oh, you know us so well.
There's so many of us. You might already know that the Pantone Color of the Year for 2020 has been declared to be Classic Blue. So according to Pantone, the color was chosen for the ability to instill calm, for it to instill confidence, to create a sense of connection. So basically a reflection of stability and dependability as we move into a new era, and also as we've been facing sort of a lot of unstable events and turmoil, really, internationally speaking.
So if you look at it, this classic blue shade, the color is reminiscent of things like the sky at dusk or the serene waters of a lake, and is also being seen as it's also seen as being timeless, reassuring and restful, bringing a sense of peace and tranquility. And Pantone also describes the color as being non aggressive, relatable, and trustable.
Do we like classic blue? Are we excited?
No, I'm not excited at all.
I
get all those things about it being comforting and peaceful and all that, but it doesn't excite me.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree. It's a very calming color, and I think that's the exact opposite of being excited about something.
I know, it almost feels like that's exactly. Everyone just calm down. Like, you don't need to love it. Just
calm down.
Yeah.
Well, so for those who aren't quite clued in about this Colours of the Year concept, it's an idea mooted by Pantone back in 2000, that's 20 years ago, and the idea is to capture the zeitgeist of the coming year by reflecting current concerns or even hopes for the future. So for instance, if we look at last year, 2019's Colour of the Year was Living Coral, and that's a depiction of healthy coral reefs, while in 2017, the colour was greenery, and that reflected the world's increasing concern with going green.
So Pantone itself started as a printing company in the US back in the 1950s, but has since become best known for its Pantone matching system. That's a colour matching and management system used by a variety of industries such as graphic design, fashion design, and printing and manufacturing. And just in case you aren't taking this seriously, you should know that choosing the colour of the year is actually quite a process. So twice a year, Pantone hosts a secret meeting of representatives from various countries' color standards groups. And after 2 years of presentations and debates, they choose the color for the following year. So just in the last few years, some of the colors that have been chosen include, so you've already mentioned the Living Coral for 2019. 2018 was ultraviolet, and that was to reflect imagination and invention. As you said earlier as well, 2017 was greenery. Going back to 2016, it's a very beautiful rose quartz, and also a sort of bluish serenity.
Yeah, so like that contrast between that calming pink and the calming blue.
Yeah, so mindfulness, security, and peacefulness. Going back to 2015, the color was Marsala, reflecting warmth and earthiness. And let's see, 2011 was quite lovely, honeysuckle, and that symbolized courage and confidence.
So it's pretty notable that we've actually come a full 20 years, like you said, Sue Ann, since the start of this color of the year. And interestingly, there are some similarities between the very first one selected and what they've selected for this year. So the color that was selected back in 2000, so it was announced in 1999 as a precursor to the new millennium. The color that they picked was cerulean, which was another like serene shade of blue, you know, sort of meant to be a calming antidote to the excitement and anxieties of an approaching new millennium. You know, people were worried about the Y2K bug, you know, times were changing. According to the Pantone Color Institute's Vice President Laurie Pressman, in an interview in the Time magazine, she said, from now and then in 1999, there's the same feeling of trepidation about the world, which is why, based on what we saw happening in our global culture, we selected classic blue. It's a reassuring blue, full of calm and confidence. It builds connection.
So full circle almost.
But of course, this is not Color of the Year. It's not without its own share of controversy. So for instance, a lot of design industry insiders were were predicting that instead of blue, that some shade of green would be the colour of the year for 2020. And this is in line with what we were talking earlier about the world's increasing concern with environmentalism, with climate change. And so, for example, Trend Forecasting Service, WGSN, predicted that neo mint would be the colour of 2020.
Not mint, neo mint.
Neo mint, new mint, new mint. interior design expert Michelle Ogundehin also criticised the choice of classic blue, calling it a middle ground and safe colour choice. And she too thought that some shade of green might be much more reflective of our times rather than this blue.
That's exactly it. That's the tone.
It's just this blue.
So all of this talk of colours and, you know, meanings might actually sound quite fluffy, and we've been laughing as well. But the connection between colour and psychology is actually very well researched and documented. Colours do have an impact on people's moods and behaviour. And this was explained by Professor Axel Buerther in his TEDx talk back in 2017. Prof. Buerther actually specialises in an interdisciplinary area of neuropsychology, design and colour. And here he is describing an experiment they did where they had people wear just the colour grey for 24 hours.
We ask our 500 subjects to try out a basic colour, maybe grey in this case, at different places. We ask them to interact with people, things and situations, and we ask them to document their behaviour during a time period of 24 hours. And we got the following results. We got the camouflage effect, so the people felt almost invisible. We got something like depression. So in the end of the 24 hours, the people say, I have to get rid of this gray clothes. I want to have back my own clothes. I cannot stand this anymore. And it's very funny to see these results. We all connect with the color gray.
So Prof. Buerther also explained how in their study, they noticed different behaviours and responses from people dressed in different colours.
And you see the realm of violet, just 2 of a million, this cheerfulness and the peacefulness impact of these pictures. Completely different realm if you look at red. We had never so many people running, climbing everywhere, so they had been very powerful for this time. Or sometimes I played with this seduction, with these themes like love, and so on. And the artificiality of white. You could wear this and try out every places, but if you lay down in a grass with a white dress, you behave really stiff, yeah? I've never seen the same gestures like the people in green. They're really relaxed in the grass, and the people in white. Then, of course, the black ones, they played with their coolness and they tried out everything they know from this color. And yellow, of course. So you see this very activating impact of yellow, or sometimes it can make you just sick. Or the brownish, same thing. The provinciality of brown, on the other hand, it's a color of wellness and well-being. And what's very interesting, if you go down to the streets with a golden dress, everyone stares at you. Or if you go and drive with a golden car or something like this, golden shoes, yeah, everyone wants to stare at you. And you change your behavior. You have to get rid of your clothes immediately. Say, oh, I cannot wear this color. I cannot drive a golden car. Or you say, okay, I'm doing this. I'm proud. And you change your behavior. It makes something out of you, as some really behaved like monuments with this color.
And Professor Buerther also goes on to explain the way we use and interact with colors is practically a communication system in its own right, and one that we use quite instinctively.
There's something like color semantics. So if you perceive a color and see, okay, it's gray, then there happened something in your brain. So you are fully aware of the meaning of this color, and it set you into action. So you are prepared to interact with your environment. And there is something like color syntax. That's, for me, the sense you make out of color. So it's not that you just see a color, so you try to include them into a full interaction. So in the end of my talk, I want to take you in a very nicely experiment, because I ask my subjects to bring all their colors of their wardrobe, actually, the colors of their clothes, the color of their shoes, and everything they possess, and to arrange it in a circle to see the color language of everyday use. And they say, okay, it's me. It's an expression of my personality. Of course, but how do you work with it? These are tools for communication. And you ask yourself, if you stand in front of your wardrobe every day, how do I want to be perceived today? And you ask yourself, what effects would I like to achieve today? I'm going to a business meeting. I'm going to see my love. I'm going to have a pleasure somewhere with my children, or if I'm going to see my boss. So these are always different situations, and you choose perfectly the right colors. You are all color experts, but you do it implicitly. So it's not really present, this knowledge for people.
That was Professor Axel Boether in his TEDx talk back in 2017. He is a specialist in neuropsychology, design, and color.
Such great points that he made about what do you want to achieve today, and how do you want to be perceived, and that then influences the colors that you choose to wear, deck yourself out in,
and not necessarily in a sort of direct and intentional even way, but in an instinctive way that we're all sort of keyed to understand this without thinking about it too much.
I wonder how that works, or that kind of psychology works in or doesn't work in somebody like, is it Steve Jobs, who famously only wears like the black turtleneck and the same pair of, I mean, like he has that monochromatic
outfit, yeah.
But I guess it gets to a point where then that becomes his identity, right? But there's plenty of evidence of how when you go to an image consultant, they will start off with telling you that if you go for an interview, you shouldn't wear, for instance, bright reds, because it might put off some of the interviewees. Like, these are things that are fairly commonly discussed. Do you guys like the idea of, you know, associating a mood or a zeitgeist or an era with a color? Does that make sense?
It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I enjoy talking about this and looking at all the different colors and the shades, but to me, it doesn't make sense. How do you generalize the entire year and its trends and all the conversations and issues around it and people's emotions to one color?
And especially this color is supposed to mean calm, right? I mean, I don't know if they mean it as an opposite to sort of the lack of calmness that we have now and the lack of calmness that we actually foresee in the next year. But I agree. It seems very generalized. Like it's a fun thing at first to get people talking about it, I guess.
I think that it's more that, right? This getting, maybe it's sort of a getting you to think about what has been the general tone of this last year. And in sort of a way that we talked about the earlier story, what does that say about the year that's coming up? So the color is really just more of a symbol to maybe reflect more of a mood or hope, rather than saying, well, if we all decked up in classic blue, then, you know, maybe so-and-so won't be president anymore. it's not like that direct, but perhaps it's what we can hope for. I don't know. I like the idea.
Just a marketing gimmick, though?
I do think so. And a large part of Pantone's color of the year is because then it helps their design team
push a certain
theme, and then that you often see that bleed onto an entire industry, right? Yeah.
We have an interesting WhatsApp comment that came in asking if the ways that we understand and interpret colors, is it universal or do they vary by culture and over time as well?
So in that talk that I took those excerpts from, he does speak about that briefly. Prof. Boether talks about how there's not enough study that's been done in terms of how these vary culturally, because different cultures place values on different colors, and they may mean different things. But then that also, because a lot of our response to color comes from nature, certain colors across the board, across cultures, often signify very similar things. So green is always associated with wellness, because of, you know, trees and leaves, whereas red always tends to be associated with danger or fear, because it's just the color of blood. So it's a sign of danger for most cultures.
But then when you think about red, like among the Chinese culture, red is the
prosperity.
Prosperity, yes.
But it's also not a calm color. I can't think of anyone who would think of red as being calm.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, that is pretty much all the time we have for this colorful conversation. You can continue to share your thoughts with us at BFM Radio on Twitter. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Or you can look us up on Facebook. We are BFM The Bigger Picture if you'd like to drop us a message there. That is all the time we have for today's show. If you've missed any part of the show today, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my/dailydigest on the BFM app or on Spotify. We will leave you now with Blue Sweet singing Hooked on a Feeling on the Daily Digest on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.